Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute, the premier online resource for discovering smarter ways to create and sell your own profitable digital products and services. Our value-rich charter membership offer ends November 6th, 2015. Find out more at digitalcommerce.com. That's digitalcommerce.com.
Greetings, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the confessions of a pink-haired marketer. For those who don't know me yet, I am a co-founder and the chief content officer for Rainmaker Digital. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. So I just got back from my mastermind group. And if you're not familiar with these, it's just a group of business owners. We get together and support each other, share ideas, share our progress, sometimes brainstorm solutions to issues we might have. And this particular group is really a pretty impressive group of folks. They're operating at a very high level, and they all have a significant online element to their business. So not all of them are selling a digital product, but every one of them is doing a lot of their marketing online. And something I always notice when I see them is that it's a group of very ambitious people, successful people. Most of them are pretty tech savvy, but almost all of them are, for lack of a better term, very woo-woo. In other words, they're people who rely a lot on self-help. They spend a lot of their time, a lot of their energy on self-help. So, you know, things like Tony Robbins workshops or creative visualization exercises, seminars, retreats, that kind of thing. Now, you might have an idea since you've been listening to me for a while. I have some strong opinions on this. I have some strong opinions on self-help, on woo-woo kind of practices. And I thought it might be interesting to just start a conversation about that today, because I find it comes up a lot for me in my business and with my colleagues. And this whole concept, this whole topic of self-help has a lot of strengths, and it has a couple of concerns. So I'm going to start by talking about what we might call the dark side or the problematic elements of self-help. And from my point of view, the most important, potentially problematic aspect of it is that sometimes people try to use a self-help book or a workshop or a retreat in place of getting professional help for an emotional problem or a mental problem. So, you know, you can do home remedies for a cold. There's no harm in it. It's fine. It's not a problem. Maybe it makes your throat feel better to have some throat coat tea or something like that. But don't try and do that with a broken arm. If you break an arm, you go to a professional and you get the arm fixed. And just in the same way, you can absolutely use self-help, in my experience and my observation, for a lot of things. But there are some more serious concerns, and I really want to encourage you to go to a licensed professional therapist for certain more significant mental or emotional issues that might be keeping you from really living a full life, from really being the person you could be. You know, self-help might augment that, but it shouldn't replace it. And I'm talking about things like eating disorders. Eating disorders are the most dangerous mental health issues in terms of mortality, if you look at the numbers. Serious depression, serious anxiety, where you're not able to get out there and have a full and rich life, and recovery from serious trauma. So I find in our culture, we are not necessarily awesome about accepting the health that the mental health profession can give us. But honestly, I have seen them work miracles in people who have significant issues. So if that's you, I really would love for you to go see somebody, get some help, and really work on resolving that issue before you start trying to do self-home remedies. So that's just one of my soapboxes. The other danger of self-help is that people read book after book after book, and they go to seminar after seminar, and they don't actually do anything. You know, they're constantly working on themselves and they're never getting anything done. And we have all known people like this. Here's what I think. The best way to work on yourself is to do something. So it's great to get a little advice or a new practice or a new technique, but then you got to get out there and do it. You got to put it into practice. So if you want more financial success, rather than endlessly manifesting it or visualizing it, launch a little online business, just a little side hustle. And I say online business only because the risk and the capital investment are so much more manageable than something that's brick and mortar, you know, getting an office or a shopfront. But, you know, if that's what you're called to do, trust me, that can be a wonderful thing to do. The online world is just lower risk and it's easier to get something launched and start making some revenue. So that launches us right into another mini soapbox that I have, and I want to share with you some of my bossy opinions about multi-level marketing. Because multi-level marketing, it's called MLM, is often a route where people think, I want to have a little more financial success, and so I'm going to do this because it's going to be a little bit of training wheels, right? It's going to be an easy way to get started. And we've all been there. Multi-level marketing is where there's a business and they've created all the business structures for you, and you go out and you sell the product very often to your friends and family and you make money. And people, you know, feel that that's a good starting step to starting their own business. I really believe it's not a wonderful route for a lot of people. It gets you into the mental habit of thinking that there's somebody else responsible for figuring out business, for figuring out the business model, for figuring out the supply chain, for figuring out all the things we figure out when we run a business. And then you just fill in the blanks. And you're just not learning what you would learn if you launched the tiniest online business. Let's say you have just an ebook that you sell, or an MP3, a PDF plus an MP3, a tiny little product. You're going to learn so much doing that. And at the end of the day, for most of us, you know, your revenue is probably going to look fairly similar. And the other issue I have with multi-level marketing, and a lot of people share this one with me, is it tends to encourage people to market in a way that's somewhat predatory. So, you know, if you've ever had a friend who gets into a multi-level marketing company, and then they're always bugging you about it. You know, somebody maybe, I've had this happen, people I haven't heard from in 5 or 6 years, former colleagues, all of a sudden they're so warm and nice and inviting me to lunch. And it's because they want me to, you know, be in their downline for the latest scheme. It just doesn't feel good. And it's really not the most effective way to market. You know, good marketing is not about shaming your friends into buying something. Far from it. Good marketing is about helping people understand that something is a great fit for them. So of course, I'm not going to say no one has ever been successful with multi-level marketing. That would be silly. But most people I see who get into it stall out, and I think it's because they're not learning those interesting lessons that doing something on your own will be. So they stall out financially, and they stall out in their business sense. And when they really start to see traction is when they create something of their own. And I understand if you find it intimidating, because I sure did find it intimidating. There are some wonderful alternatives available now if you don't have that confidence or you don't have the skills yet. Starting with this podcast, starting with the Copyblogger blog, you know, you can go grab the free marketing information on copyblogger.com. That's going to give you a big old kickstart. It's really going to help you build something. So if you go over to pinkhairedmarketer.fm, I have some free resources for you on that in the show notes. And then I also have some low-cost paid resources that are a little more focused. They're going to give you a little more velocity, which is always nice. All right, so enough bossy opinions about what I don't like. Now I'm going to give you my bossy opinions about what I think does work. So I have a hypothesis about why online business owners are so attracted to self-help, or what they sometimes call woo-woo. And I've mentioned it before on the podcast. People who do business on the internet create something out of nothing, or at least that's how it appears. You know, we take pixels, we take files, you know, just logical constructs, MP3 files, and we turn them into revenue. And it looks a lot like magic. And because it looks a lot like magic, we have a certain need for Dumbo's feather. So if you don't remember the old Disney cartoon, Dumbo was a cartoon elephant, and he could fly when he was holding a magic feather. And the only reason that he could is because he believed he could do it. You know, at the big crisis moment of the story, it turns out the magic is not in the feather. The magic is in his belief in himself that he can do this remarkable thing. Online business owners, I really found, disproportionately need to manage their beliefs. And more specifically, we need to develop the skill of expanding what we believe is possible. So elephants, you know, can't really fly with magic feathers, and we don't really actually create revenue out of nothing, but it feels that way. And self-help techniques that help us, to use their expression, let go of limiting beliefs, I have found are genuinely useful for online business owners. You know, just in my experience and what I've observed in myself and in colleagues and in fellow business owners. So one of the things that does, I think, tend to be useful with the self-help world is something like visualization, or sometimes people will call it manifesting. It's really about developing a very clear vision of where you want to be. So where do you want to go? What do you want to be? Who do you want to be? How do you want to be that way? And this is kind of a big topic, so I'm going to talk about some specific exercises that I found useful in an upcoming episode of the podcast. But anything that gets you to create images in your mind, something that feels real about the kind of business you want to have, the kind of life you want to lead, that I've found seems to serve people well. It seems to have some real benefit. And of course, it has to be paired with action and planning and all that stuff in order for it to really do anything. This is absolutely not, you know, dream about living in Oz and you're going to wake up there. It doesn't work that way. Always has to be paired to action. But sometimes the visualization helps it be a little clearer about what kind of action we're going to take. So the other topic that kind of falls into this bucket, although it has a little bit of a wider application these days, it's getting a lot of attention these days, is mindfulness or meditation practice. And I have found it extremely useful and very pragmatic. And I'm going to talk today about the practical benefits of mindfulness practice or meditation. So, you know, you may have seen there's a lot of research being done right now on mindfulness, and there's lots of hype. There's lots of, you know, articles about brain scans and all the rest of it. Here's the reality. The science on mindfulness is very preliminary. It truly is very, very preliminary. There's some interesting findings, but, you know, we can't say definitively a lot yet about mindfulness. It definitely looks promising. So instead of talking about the science, because I don't feel like we're quite there yet, I'm going to talk about what I've observed in myself and what I've observed in other business owners. So in my experience, meditation or mindfulness practice does two very, very useful things. The first is it's a very practical way to learn how to let go of storylines. So what are storylines? Storylines are all of that mental chatter we have, and it resembles, you know, junior high school girls talking about their social lives. So he said this, and she said that. She said this, but I think what she meant was that, and I don't know if he likes me, and I can't tell what he's thinking, you know, ad nauseum, right? It's exhausting. And we all spend way too much time doing this, men and women alike. So we have a story. He's disrespecting me, and he's disrespecting me because I'm deficient in this area, or because he's this, or she's trying to throw me under the bus. I'm not good at business. I'm never going to be good at getting a handle on my numbers. All the stuff, all the stories that we tell ourselves. So in a very pragmatic way, all meditation is just practicing coming back to the actual reality of your situation, coming back to what is actually going on right now in the current moment. That's all mindfulness is. It is, it's actually not that complicated. And in order to do that, the number one thing that we do is we practice letting go of the story that's running through our head, the he said, she said story. So in a formal meditation practice, normally, you know, that reality that you keep coming back to, we engineer it so it's rather boring. It's very traditional, for example, to sit in a chair and look at a blank wall, or sit on a meditation cushion and look at a blank wall. But it's practice. And that's what I want you to remember. And it comes in really handy when your emotions are running high in your business. And more to the point, when those emotionally triggering stories that you're telling yourself are running fast and furious. Now, a point of clarity, because I think people get mixed up about this. Meditation is not at all about giving up your emotions or about trying to learn to become some, you know, Vulcan emotionless creature who's only driven by logic. That is actually not at all what meditation is for, and that is not the goal of meditation. Meditation is about learning to just place those stories that you run in your brain to one side, to place and all those unhelpful cascades of emotions that ride along with the story, just to set it to the side for a moment. Maybe not forever, but long enough to keep you from taking impulsive action on those stories. And that leads me to the second super helpful thing that I've seen in meditation practice. The other thing that meditation does is it creates a habit of a very small pause between an emotional response, which is very often accompanied by a story, and then the action that you take. So there's just a very small space there. Now, why is this useful? This is useful because it helps you get into the habit of very useful things like thinking before you speak or thinking before you blast somebody on Facebook. And it helps you cultivate the practice of listening really thoughtfully, really attentively, and speaking only when you have something of value to contribute. So there's, you know, dozens if not hundreds of ways that this is just a very useful skill to cultivate as a business owner, and of course, just as a person, you know, just as a parent or a friend or a spouse or a boss or an employee. It's just very useful to be able to have that pause between your immediate emotional response and then the thing that you do next. And just as an aside, if you wanted to experiment with meditation, there's a lot of, you know, very good books out there. I'll see if I can find some of my favorite books on getting started with meditation, just so you can have that available if you want it. I really like the Insight Timer app for any kind of meditation practice. It's very useful. It's not clogged up with features you don't need. The basic version is free. Even the premium version is very inexpensive. And again, I'll include a link to that in the show notes on pinkhairedmarketer.fm. So I could talk about mindset, and self-help is really about managing mindset. Self-help is about techniques or strategies you can learn to manage your own way of thinking about the world and shape it to something that's more useful for you. I think it really does have its uses for business owners, because if you can get your head in a productive and a useful place, you're going to be able to make use of all of those tons of resources that are available to give you the knowledge that you need. So knowledge is plentiful, but the real work of putting that knowledge into practice is not so plentiful. And that's where some thoughtfully chosen self-help practices can really help you out. So again, you know, visualizing or manifesting success is not the same as working on success. However, a certain amount of that work can really help pave the ground to make it a little more fertile. It's useful to have in your toolbox. So I want to wrap up by talking about the holiday schedule for Rainmaker.fm if you are listening to this live or shortly after it's published. You may know that this podcast is part of the Rainmaker FM Marketing Podcast Network, and we do have some holiday schedule information coming up. So this podcast, Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer, is going to be taking a break for the week of U.S. Thanksgiving. So that would be Monday, November 23rd is the week that I'm going to be on break. And Christmas week, so the Monday 21st of Christmas week, and that's 2015. I'm going to republish episodes for those weeks. So if you would be so kind, would you let me know which episodes you would like to hear again, or you think should make a comeback? Which are the ones that you feel are evergreen and you feel would be useful to have republished on those weeks of Thanksgiving, U.S. Thanksgiving, and Christmas? Again, you can drop me a comment on the pinkhairedmarketer.fm site. That brings you over to the rainmaker.fm platform site. And just let me know what you feel has had the most impact, and then we'll get those republished. And the entire network is going to be taking a break the week between Christmas and New Year's Day. So we won't have new shows that week. That is a great time for you to work on your goals for the new year, just along the themes of today's episode. And I'm going to give you my final piece of bossy advice for today. Get that onto your calendar now, like as soon as you finish listening to this recording. Take a full day or a couple of half days to sit down and think about what you want to make happen in 2016. And, you know, you can do it during, if you get a few days off for the holidays, or you can do it on a weekend, but make some time now. This is just a very natural time for us to start thinking about what we want to see happen in the new year and what we're going to do to make that happen. And I'll be back to you that first week of the new year with some thoughts on goals and vision and measuring your progress, all that good stuff. And a big thank you, as always, to all of the lovely, lovely people who have left a star rating or a review on iTunes. Those are so helpful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So that's self-help. I will be revisiting this topic a little bit, and I think I'm going to record an episode where I talk about, you know, visualization kinds of exercises I find helpful. I have one really powerful one that I love, and it steers clear of the problems associated with the, you know, visualize it and it will magically appear, which tends to not work. So I will share with you what works for me instead. I'll do that in a future episode. Thank you so much for your time and attention. I appreciate you so much. This is Sonia Simone with Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer. Take care, guys, and talk to you soon.